I will tell you this, these are the last of the major changes we're going to make in the organization, but we'll continue to, if I could use the word, tinker with the organization to continue to find ways to improve it and make it better.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns? This would be a day to do that. Get the latest information directly from the source. Well, we did. We were hard at work at that from early this morning. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app or Apple for your Apple Android phones, tablets, iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. You better, because big news keeps coming around the bend, and every time we have gigantic news in this building, one Jim Donovan is in this studio to help pick up the pieces for us. Hi, Jim.
And I thought I was being brought in to talk about the half pipe.
Yes, from Sochi.
I mean, I'm all Olympics right now.
You're all Olympics.
I'm all Olympics.
You're an NBC
yeah.
affiliate.
Yeah. You know, gentlemen, I think today, I think Jimmy Haslam retook ownership of the Cleveland Browns today. I really do it. And I also think that he said something that I think was very honest. And I think he was honest throughout the press conference, but I think when he said, hey, it's kind of a, you know, you work on the job kind of thing. Yeah. In other words, I don't think you can go to the University of Tennessee and take a course on how to own an NFL football team.
Right.
Okay. And I think,
or
that,
even like Cleveland State,
or yeah, or you can't go there. Yeah. And I think that he has kind of learned on the job.
Yeah.
And I think now he's come to the determination that what's needed is him and his family to get involved in this huge billion-dollar purchase that they made of this franchise, and I think he retook ownership of the Cleveland Browns today.
All right, I got to jump in, though, on that, because you say something that's powerful, and I get what you're saying, but he deferred so much. Remember, he retook ownership. Those were his billions that paid for this team.
Yeah.
And Joe Banner came in with him.
Right.
It was an arranged marriage with the National Football League. That was very
no
clear.
No question about it.
So do you think he was deferring so much to him right along that now it's a relief to him to not have to defer anymore to somebody who has, quote, more years, more experience in the league than he did?
His ownership has had different levels to it, I think. I think when he came and he took over, when the purchase was announced and he was approved by the NFL, he was all in, okay? He was going to be here a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the time we saw the camera shot of him in the owner's box the day Josh Gordon dropped the ball in Indianapolis that would have given them the lead and perhaps a win, okay? Then all of a sudden he kind of pulled back, all right? And then he wasn't going to be here as much and as involved, but that's why I have Joe, you know, and that's why Joe has Mike. That's why they're going to be here. And then I think, Vic, he's now back into it because I think he's, you know, and I would watch him every Sunday before a game, and he was out information gathering, yep. I think. He was talking with assistant coaches. He was watching other assistant coaches and head coaches and coordinators from other teams.
Right.
And I think it was an information gathering thing. And I think finally, you know, he feels as though he's gone through an awful lot. He's taking a few floggings, you know, for what's been going on here. And I think he's saying, hey, it's time for me to get back involved in this thing. And if he does have, you know, philosophical differences with the way Joe was running things, it's his team. I mean, he wins out on that. You know, there's no other vote needed.
He is the final vote. How critical or important to this decision, Jim, do you think the coaching search process was, and also the Super Bowl experience? Because he referenced that multiple times, the feedback he was getting from others around the league about this situation.
Well, I don't think I think when he was getting the feedback. And I don't think it was all, you've got a great franchise there. I think people were saying to him, hey, listen, what is going on there?
Yeah.
You explain to me what you think it is, and then I'm going to tell you from my years. Today, the Browns look a little bit more like the Steelers that Jimmy Haslam watched as a minority owner. They eliminated some levels here today.
Yep.
You know, there's the Rooney family, and there's the GM, and there's Mike Tomlin, and there's a tradition. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a little bit more what it looks like today. So I'm sure that there were some things, Nathan, that he didn't like hearing at the Super Bowl. But I think you're right. I think the Super Bowl experience and that mass gathering of people. Who knows? It could have been Peyton Manning that could have said to him, hey, what are you doing? What's going on in Cleveland?
Let's face it, we were all getting a, hey, what are you doing over there?
Sure, it's the first question everybody asked.
I mean, and at the Super Bowl and you know, Senior Bowl, when I was down there, when you were around either media people
or just league people. Turns out our GM was at the Senior Bowl, by the way.
And he was there, Ray Farmer, that's right. But I think Jim, after a while, that wore on him. The idea that he's not used to being part of what was being described as a laughingstock. Oh. The whole Three Stooges thing. Everything had to just completely be offensive to what he saw what he sees himself as a big time businessman,
right,
and a guy who could afford to be a part of this. But he didn't go into this to be now embarrassed by it.
No, absolutely not. I mean, yeah, he's in to win. He's in to win in business, and he certainly is in to win in this very privileged club of owning an NFL team.
Yes.
You don't want to be, you don't want to be at the bottom of the league all the time and the butt of a lot of jokes. The other thing that was important today, visually, he looked like the owner of the Cleveland Browns because he was the only one up there in front of those microphones, is that he was up there. This was his decision. These are the moves he's going to make. And the other thing that looked good was Ray Farmer. Looked good up there. Ray Farmer looked very smooth. Ray Farmer looked very prepared. The other thing is that, it's shocking, but in the long run, it might be a defining day. Let's hope it is.
We certainly hope that it is. And I think you're right. I'm glad you touched on Ray Farmer, because I thought he came out of this looking very, very good, very intelligent, very articulate, very good with the media, something that our general manager hadn't spoken with the media really since he'd been here since training camp,
right.
I believe. There was the one day in training camp and...
We all know why. That was going to turn into a brawl. Between the media and Mike Lombardi, and Mike was going to have to be defending himself of things that went on back in the mid 90s.
But that was an impossible situation.
That was never going to go away.
An unfair situation, I think. But what came through when you talked about Jimmy Haslam taking ownership, to me, what I took from that is that with extreme conviction, Jimmy Haslam believes Mike Pettine was the best coach for the Cleveland Browns. I thought that he said that and articulated it and reiterated it in a way that was something very important to him, and that he said Ray Farmer will be the best general manager for the Browns. I think not only was he out there by himself, you got the feeling that he said, these are the decisions. I made these decisions. This was my coach. This is my GM. And now we're going forward.
Well, and, Nathan, this is an extraordinary set of circumstances. I mean, he's been through two coaching searches now in a year.
Yep.
And I mean, that's a lot to go through. So that's a quick education. I mean, sometimes you would hope that you come in and maybe you make a coaching change and you find your coach, and then 10 years down the road,
right,
or even five, or in this case, three would be acceptable, but not months. I mean, we're talking years.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't have to go through it again, but he went through it and he's gone through it very quickly. And he's probably saying to himself, I mean, this is like, this is that movie Groundhog Day. We got to get off this, this cycle and get into a cycle where I got a GM, I'm comfortable with my coach, and I agree with you. I thought he was, I'll tell you what, if I'm Mike Pettine today, and I know Mike's busy doing what he has to do right now, but I would feel good about the conviction that the owner had about me and the confidence that he showed in me without even having a down or a distance to make a decision on so far.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And I think cleaning up some of the clutter, and I don't know this to be a fact, but it wouldn't shock me if in discussions with Mike Pettine before they hired him and talking with his agent and, going down that road of how things were set up here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you recall, during Mike Pettine's press conference, there were questions asked of him about roster control, what would his role be, and he said those things are still being discussed as he's standing before the media.
Yeah.
So there was some sort of a backstory to that, I believe, that might have perhaps at least factored into or filtered into the discussion that Jimmy Haslam said, the larger discussion of the structure of the organization.
And for once, it's clearly defined. I couldn't sit here on Cleveland Browns Daily being in the building last season and said, this is who has control over the 53-man roster. This is who has control over the game day roster. This is who's making the final say on personnel decisions. And now Ray Farmer is the general manager. He has control over the 53-man roster. The game day roster will be under control of the head coach, Mike Pettine. They talk a little about the process to make picks and who has the final say there, but it seems more clear now.
I think Joe was the lord of everything.
But that's a strange situation when you have
general manager. And having said that, Vic, I mean, I think the guy that bought the team back today.
You know, back to your
he's
point.
He's got his own, yeah. back to my original
did,
point.
He did buy it now.
You're exactly right. There's no question that Joe was in charge of a lot of things
right.
here.
Everything.
We sit, you're
this
right.
building, the yeah. design, the, of the remodeling, the studio, those were all Banner visions.
Absolutely. But today, there's no question yeah. who owns the team and who's making, you know, where the decisions are going to go. Now, he's going to defer decisions to Ray Farmer and, you know, and obviously Mike Pettine. But, you know, you're right. I mean, I just think that, you know, and I want to commend Ray Farmer about another thing. He did it the old-fashioned way. He put his head down and he worked.
Yeah.
To get to this position.
Yeah,
there are no stories going around that Ray Farmer, you know, was going behind anybody's back or that
not
he was
all.
Jockeying
no.
for position. You're right, he was down in Mobile because they sent him down in Mobile to do his job, and that's what he did.
And I think this, we have no idea how this is going to work out. I think everything you're saying makes perfect sense, Jimmy, with regard to how what it looks like and what it feels like to the owner and so on and so forth. All that said, what this team was when it started out with Haslam and why Joe Banner did for this club was basically perform the thing that everybody, a skill set that everybody sort of knew in football that he had, which was the business end of it, the contract negotiation end of it, be it with individuals, coaches or staff or executives, working with the city, you know, working on stadium stuff,
yeah.
working on vision,
right.
all those big projects. Okay, those things he did quite well.
Mm-hmm.
He did that in Philadelphia. But I think the part that was, we know, the part that was left wanting in a major way was the football side of it. And I think that's the conclusion that Haslam, again, whether he came to it just recently, obviously he seemed to, or not, but he came to this conclusion that we've got a guy who's really good at this stuff, but I've got him running everything. Everything includes football, and this football part is a joke, is a disaster.
And you also
right.
have to say,
you're right. That's a difficult thing to hear.
It is.
You know, and to not just to hear it in the media, but if you hear it in your ownership group, and if
yes.
you hear it around that the community that is the NFL,
yeah,
with
peers.
The media on the outside, but the community that's the NFL, if you're hearing, hey, listen, you know what? What's going on? What are you doing?
Right.
Come on. You watched the Steelers. You watched how they did it. You had a great education. You know, be your own guy in this thing.
And one of the things that they will help him do in this transition and help Jimmy Haslam, as you say, bought the team back today and help Ray Farmer, is it is set up well for this season with all the draft picks. Some of the moves that were made last year were forward-thinking moves to trade two of those draft picks, get more picks for this year, the money under the cap. So it's I think, you know, I get the sense that the toughest thing for them is they don't get to see through that vision, and now it is going to be somebody else's vision who will be well set up. And hopefully for once it is a streamlined vision that can capitalize on these opportunities. And as they said, Pettine said it, Ray Farmer said today, it's all about winning. It's all about winning.
What do you think the roster needs? It needs to win more.
It's
a very simple
answer.
It's a very simple answer. But I was very, very impressed. Good for Ray Farmer.
Yes,
he
great
did very
for
well.
Ray Farmer.
You know, that's a tough press conference to go into today.
Tough press conference, handled it well. I think he does bring a high level of football acumen. I don't know what kind of GM he's going to make. I think he's going to find out what kind of GM he's going to make. Of course, he's got the confidence that he can do it. He's been in this world enough,
for a long time.
Long enough. Mm-hmm. That he should feel the comfort level. And as he said, being in the process prepares him for this because they've been doing this. They've been looking at players. They've been assessing. We were down there together in Mobile. So all of that is coming together. Now, all of that said, too, this doesn't change the fact that it is the most critically most critical offseason
mm-hmm.
and will determine the futures of everybody, probably including Ray Farmer, whether or not he can hopefully go past that one-year mark that people have when they get the big jobs with this team, like the previous head coach.
Right.
That'll all be determined.
I think these guys will be here.
But they got to draft well, Nathan.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to happen. We can say that it looks the 10 picks, what you do with it, the free agent. They got to hit all the rules haven't changed.
No,
just because Banner and Lombardi are gone.
You're absolutely right. It's a very, very critical time. But he's been here. I think that I'm sure that Vic, part of the comfort factor that Jimmy Haslam had with him was that they sat down, they talked about philosophy in the draft, and maybe specifics of what they're going to do in the draft. You know, that all came out. It seems as though there were a lot of, you know, heart-to-heart talks before this all became formal today. So I just think that today they just seemed a little bit more in sync than they have, in recent times. And I mean that. And yeah. And there's a there's less of a crowd here. You know, I mean, they're in sync. I mean, there's an owner, there's a GM, there's a head coach.
Yep.
You know, and I you know, it's simple.
And one of the things Ray Farmer stressed today was being in sync with Mike Pettine and understanding not just what the player is, but what the player is for Mike Pettine and how that works. And it sounds like there will be certainly a much better marriage between those two than we had previously. Jim, thanks so much for stopping by on America.
Well, it's always good to talk to you guys.
It's always great to have you on. Always great to have you on. We also want to hear from all of you out there. Get your reaction, 216-578-0850. I look forward to a dull conversation with you, by the way, anytime in the near future.
Who got fired?
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
All right, we'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.